Good morning. The November 30th, 2021 Administration Committee meeting will now begin. For the record, this is a virtual meeting and all board members and participants are by telephone. I will now take roll call. Board Member Morocco?
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Adams?
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon? And for the record, Board Member Spaller is absent at today's meeting. Operator, we would like to open the floor for public comments. Can you please provide instructions for entering the queue to make a public comment?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open for public comments. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad to enter the queue. You will hear a brief tone to indicate you have successfully entered the queue. Priority access will be given to any participant who has pre-registered, and these comments will be taken in turn. We will then take public comments from remaining participants on a first-come, first-served basis. Each person will have 2 minutes for their public comment. A warning will be provided when 15 seconds remain. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue to make a public comment. And there is one public comment in queue. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to enter queue to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your phone at this time. Your first public comment is coming from Joseph Clift. Joseph, your line is live, and your time will now begin.
Good morning, committee members. This is Joe Clift calling in from Mount Sinai West Hospital in wonderful Manhattan, New York. Two things this morning. One, it would be useful, I think, for everyone if the finance folks could put together an analysis of the CARES, the CRISA, the ARPA, all the money coming from the feds, how that would play out in the future. How long will this money last to cover forecast drops in revenue and increased costs? It's a lot of money. It would be interesting to see how long it lasts. And a separate question on that, is that money available for anything other than operating support? Could you spend it on capital? Is there some way to do a substitution there? But the number is so large, I think it would be useful to see, looking ahead, where that those dollars take New Jersey Transit. We should be thankful that those have come from the feds, and it'd be nice to know what's happening. The second is a repeat question. Last month I mentioned that there are these negative vacancies in the rail operations at slide 9 in the package today, and it's now 159 in October. That's up substantially from earlier, and I'm just simply curious, what is a negative vacancy? How does that work? Is that, are these over the actual budgeted number? But it would be very interesting to understand what that number means. It's just, to me, it's a confusing number. Thanks so much, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if there were any other public comments, please press star 1 on your phone at this time. And there were no other public comments in queue at this time.
Thank you, and thank you, public speaker. Board Member Morocco, do you have any comments?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Adams, do you have any comments?
Yes, Joyce. Joe Clift just mentioned about the negative headcount again, and I'm going back in my notes, and he mentioned this a month ago. I was under the impression that we answered that question. And if there's anybody from the team on, if they could, because for some reason I remember that question being answered, if they could just repeat the question again, because maybe Joe either wasn't available or didn't hear the answer. But other than that, I have no other questions or comments.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon, do you have any comments?
Just thank Mr. Clift for his comments, but nothing further. Thanks.
Thank you. Next is a financial update, Jeff Bernstein.
Thank you, Joyce, and good morning, board members and members of the public. Before I begin the report, I just want to answer the previous comment on the negative headcount variance. That's due to a quirk in how we budget for locomotive engineer and assistant conductor trainees, where there's funding allocated but not positions allocated, given high turnover rates historically from those programs. So as we now have a large number of people going through those programs, they're showing as a negative variance in that case. It's the quirk in how we budget. So now to turn to the financial report, where actually I'm pleased to present this update for the period of July 1st, 2021 through October 31st, 2021. Additional information not reported can be found in the appendix. Before I begin, as with prior months, as our fiscal 22 budget has not yet been approved by the Board of Directors, please note that all budget data in this report should be considered preliminary and is shown as presented to the Board at the March 2021 Board meeting. Page 1. For the first 4 months of fiscal 22, ending October 31st, 2021, New Jersey Transit's net loss from operations was $215.5 million, plus $292 million of federal COVID-19 relief funding, less $6 million of loss related to the timing of reimbursable project revenue, for an overall net gain of $70.2 million. This compares to last year, where we reported a $347 million loss from operations, $320 million of federal COVID relief funding, and a $4.5 million loss to the timing of reimbursable global project revenue for an overall net loss of $31.2 million. Compared to budget, net income from operations is favorable by $7 million, operating revenue is unfavorable by $2.4 million, and expenses are favorable by $9.1 million. On a year-to-date basis, passenger revenue is $81.7 million, or 92% above last year's passenger revenue. However, it still is 50% lower than the comparable period pre-COVID. Rail operations revenue for the month was just under $50 million, which is 135% higher than last October. Revenue from bus operations was approximately $31 million, 63% higher than last year, and revenue from light rail operations was $1 million, 34% higher than the same period of last year. Operating expenses are essentially on budget. Labor and fringe expenses are less than 1% unfavorable. Outside services, $5 million below budget, mainly due to decrease in electronic equipment service and contract maintenance services. And purchase transportation is 4.5% below budget. This is primarily due to decreased access link ridership. In October, $100 million of American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, stimulus funds were drawn down. The next page, page 2, is a more detailed view of farebox revenues. The dotted line at the top of each graph is a pre-COVID baseline, while the solid lines represent a 12-month rolling actual revenue since October 2020. October 21 saw a slight increase of $4.5 million, or 11%, over September's farebox revenue. However, overall, we remain 46% below our pre-COVID baseline. Of note, however, is a noticeable pickup in rail revenue, which will be further evident on the next page. Where we should turn to, on page 3, which is an overview of passenger revenue compared to pre-COVID throughout the period of the pandemic. At the end of October, rail revenue is approximating 50% of pre-COVID, and bus revenue approximating 60% of pre-COVID actuals. In recent months, rail has seen a noted increase, whereas the bus increase has been more gradual. With regards to the ticket mix, pre-COVID monthly ticket sales were approximately 40% of total revenues. Those are now 15% on rail and 27% on bus. These, however, have been increasing in recent months on par with how revenues in general are improving. The next page presents highlights regarding selected major balance sheet items. Our operating cash balance on October 31st, 2021 was $171.9 million, an $8.5 million increase from September 2021. On October 31st, 2021, we had no outstanding balance on the credit facility, and our long-term debt balance was $1 billion. The last and final page illustrates the status of our federal COVID-19 relief funding. As a reminder, there are three different sources of federal funds that have been made available to New Jersey Transit for COVID relief throughout the pandemic, and specifically for use now in fiscal 22. Our CARES funding has been fully drawn down, with the final drawdown of $83.8 million having been made in August, and that's the funding specifically for operations. The next two tranches of funds are CARISA and ARPA, where New Jersey Transit has received approximately $3 billion of funding. Those grants have begun to be drawn down, and the funding split negotiations with the State of New York have been resolved. Grant amendments have been submitted to the Federal Transit Administration to reflect the outcome of those negotiations, and we expect the full amount to be available to New Jersey Transit within the next few weeks. As a reminder, eligible expenses for these drawdowns would include labor and fringe expense benefits, purchase transportation costs, professional services, electric propulsion power, and fuel for revenue vehicles. And of those expenses, majority, or 80% of the reimbursements received, have been to support labor and fringe. Thank you, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. Board Member Morocco, do you have any comments?
Just a quick question. You know, I noted that the monthly ticket sales have not recovered to the same degree as daily. I'm wondering whether you attribute that to result of, you know, flexible work weeks or reduced work weeks that commuters have, or do you have another explanation for it?
For the most part, that's a result of either flexible work weeks or unpredictability regarding trips into the city over a month period. I would like to call out that we have a new ticket in place now, or new package in place called the Flex Pass, which is 20 trips for 20% off with a 30-day expiration date. We are seeing that many customers are choosing that option in lieu of a monthly pass.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Board Member Adams, do you have any comments?
I just have two questions for Jeff, and thank you for the report. I just want to piggyback on Joe Cliff's first two questions. It appears that we have almost $2.6 billion to be spent for CARISA and ARPA funds. Am I reading that correctly?
As of today, that approximates the amount we have remaining.
Okay, approximate. Now, what would your projections be on how long these funds would last? And I know it's not an exact science, or what would your plan be on how long these funds would last?
Board Member Adams, it's Bill Vicara. That work is underway, and we expect that will be a central part of the fiscal 23 and beyond conversations that we'll be engaging over the course of the next month or two.
Perfect. Thank you for that response. And the last answer, I think I know, but Joyce has always warned me not to say anything if I don't know it positively, but none of these funds can be used for capital projects, correct?
There is flexibility, although the way we submitted the grant applications and the intent of the programs was to support operating. And again, we can get into that in more detail as we flesh out how to best use, optimally use the funds in 23 and beyond.
Okay, so it's still up for discussion, and the team is working on that now.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you both. No other questions, Joyce.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon, do you have any comments, questions?
Yes, one question. This may be best directed to Kevin. And by the way, thank you, Jeff, for that presentation. I saw in some of the news coming out of Washington today that SEPTA has hired a lobbyist to advance its cause in applying for the infrastructure money that's been approved. Is transit doing anything like that, or are we just relying on our congressional delegation, or are we trying some outside sources?
No, I think, yeah, we don't employ lobbyists. I think a lot of transit agencies around the country have restrictions, or the states have restrictions on that. But for us, we certainly don't feel the need. We have a good government affairs group here. We work closely with the front office, the governor's office, with the commissioner, making sure our requests are in context of the broader transportation goals of the state, and that is coherent. But we have a good relationship with our delegation. We really work hard. Justin and his team really work hard to make sure that all their staff are informed of what our priorities are. Having the five-year capital plan, the strategic plan, really, and briefing the members of Congress and their staff over the last year plus, I think it really helps set the groundwork so they know what we're interested in, what our priorities are. So we work with that. So now there's the two elements are, one, what's formula, the increase in formula funding. So that goes to what Bill was saying on the, as we lay out going in for next year's budget process, and the fishbowl process, et cetera, that you know well. But then it's the discretionary grants, and we're still getting, to see the rules and regs and the guidance we're going to get from FTA and FRA on the different pots that have competitive grants. So in there, we want to make sure that we are aggressive as possible in getting as much as we can out of those. And I think we're helped by all the work we've done the last couple of years between positive train control, Portal Bridge, Raritan Bridge, all the projects we've been doing. Also Northeast Corridor, the Northeast Corridor Commission, the C-35 program. We have a very close working relationship with FTA, FRA staff who really know us and we know their systems. So we think we should be well positioned to be competitive and aggressive in competing for funds. We certainly are the most densely populated state in the country, and you see, although we still have a way, a way to go, the return, our ridership is return is the highest, I think, of any transit system in the country. So, you know, I think as we come out of the pandemic, I think we're very well positioned and have, you know, very strong metrics to show why, aside from the fact that we're nice people, you know, why we should really win a lot of the, more than our share of competitive grants. So I think we're well positioned, and we'll certainly keep the board apprised as we get greater clarity and guidance for the from USDOT on the competitive grant programs and which ones we're going to be, going after and for which pots.
Okay. Well, I was a little surprised to see that someone was hiring a lobbyist. I kind of thought that, we had a more basic strategy in place of just educating the decision makers as to what our needs were. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Board Member Spola has joined the meeting. Board Member Spola, do you have any comments or questions?
Thank you. I do not have any at this point.
Thank you. Next is the Human Resources Update, Glenn Schuster.
Good morning. My name is Glenn Schuster, and I am the new Chief of Human Resources at New Jersey Transit, started on October 25th, 2021. Before we dive into the Human Resources Dashboard for the month of October, I wanted to highlight a few of our department's achievements over the past month. For employment engagement in October, our big event was the Wear It Pink Challenge for Breast Cancer Awareness. Employees had the opportunity at two of our administrative locations to stop at a selfie station that employee engagement installed at the General Office Building in Maplewood and at the One Penn Plaza in Newark. Those throughout the state, no matter the location, were invited to submit a photo of themselves wearing pink to raise awareness, honor survivors, and remember those who lost their battle with breast cancer. Beginning in August, Human Resources hosted a series of three family medical leave of absence and reasonable accommodation training events for all New Jersey Transit management staff to understand how to recognize and manage reasonable accommodations issues with their employees. On October 20th, the department hosted its final event. I'd like to thank Melanie Ashley, Director of Employment Engagement, Kathleen Rosevay, Senior Director, Human Resources Business Partner, Nancy Alvarez, Director, FMLA and Reasonable Accommodation, Laura Wooding, Director of Medical Services, Vernier Applewhite and Amelia Pena, our Principal Corporate FMLA Reasonable Accommodation and Policy Analysts, for facilitating these training events and nurturing the ongoing relationship with our employees. Lastly, New Jersey Transit experienced their routine FAR, Federal Railroad Administration audit, and this year it was conducted from October 25th through October 29th. From the review of our Employee Assistance Program, EAP, it was stated that Patrice Verner, our director of EAP as substance abuse professional, and our EAP team's work was exceptional. They also stated that the Federal Railroad Administration uses her work as a role model for others, for other railroads to follow. Now I'll provide you with an update of October's numbers. For our October dashboard, we were at 697 open positions. I'll now break it down by department. For our corporate group, we had 170 openings. For agreement, we had 14 police openings. For non-agreement, we had 156 openings, which included 30 for capital programs. Overall for BRAS, we had 450 open positions. For agreement, it was 404 open positions with 299 bus operators. For non-agreement, we had 46 open positions. Overall for rail, we had 74 positions open. Agreement had 46, and non-agreement had 28. Light rail, we had three open positions, none in agreement, and three open positions for assistant superintendents. As far as employee actions in the month of October, we'll start with new hires. On the corporate group, we had agreement, we had no new hires. For non-agreement, we had 11 new hires, which included four foreman two and various seven other positions. For bus, I'm happy to report we had 41 hires for agreement, which included 34 operators, 4 cleaners, and 3 servicemen. Non-agreement had 0. Rail, we had 30 agreement hires, including 22 assistant conductors, 6 train dispatcher trainees, and 2 mechanic Bs. Non-agreement had 0. Light rail, we had 3 agreement hires, which were 3 servicemen. Now we'll move on to promotions. For corporate agreement, we had 3 in police. For non-agreement, we had 5. 2 were regional supervisors and 3 various other positions. Bus had no agreement promotions and 1 non-agreement promotion for a regional supervisor. Rail had no agreement promotions and 6 non-agreement promotions, including 2 assistant superintendent transportation and 4 various other positions. Light rail had no agreement promotions and 1 non-agreement promotion for a assistant general manager contracts. For job reclassifications, there were no job reclassifications for corporate for agreement or non-agreement employees. Bus had 5 agreement reclassifications, including 2 repairmen Class B and 3 various roles, while non-agreement had none. Rail and light rail had no agreement or non-agreement reclassifications in October. For retirements, corporate agreement had none, while non-agreement had 1 retirement. Bus agreement had 7, and non-agreement had 2. Rail had 5 retirements and for agreement and 3 for non-agreement. Light rail had no retirements for agreement or non-agreement. Under other separations, for corporate, we had 1 agreement resignation in police, and in non-agreement, we had 10 separations. Bus had 33 operators and 5 in various jobs in agreement that were separated, and non-agreement had none. Rail had 6 agreement separations and 1 non-agreement. Light rail had no separations in either agreement or non-agreement positions. And under disciplinary actions, suspension, corporate agreement had none. Bus agreement had 33. Rail agreement had 30. Light rail agreement had 1. Discharge, corporate bus operations and light rail had no discharges, while rail ops agreement had 1. I appreciate your attention throughout this committee meeting. Please know I'm here to answer any questions you might have. This concludes my report.
Thank you. Board Member Morocco, do you have any comments?
Thank you for the report and congratulations on the new position.
Thank you. Board Member Adams, do you have any comments?
I just want to ditto that. Thank you for the report and welcome aboard.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon, do you have any comments?
No comments. I do welcome Glenn to the organization.
Thank you. Board Member Spaulding, do you have any comments?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Next is the Equal Employment Opportunity and Affirmative Action Update. Naheem Din.
Thank you, Joyce. Good morning. This month's report is shorter than the report we presented a month ago. This report only covers the month of October. During last month, we continued to process new complaints and reduce the number of pending complaints. At the end of October, there were 38 pending complaints. We also continued our outreach to employees by visiting the following bus facilities: Walter Rand Transportation Center, Ironbound Garage, Howell Garage, Hilton Garage, Big Tree Garage, Hamilton Garage, as well as just yesterday we visited New Jersey Transit's general office building in Maplewood. I wish to thank my members of my staff for conducting these facility visits. Also, thank bus management for their continued cooperation and support. The next slide shows the number of new complaints that were filed and closed, as well as the average processing time to conclude investigations. Starting with 2019 and continuing through this year, the yearly number of complaints received has decreased, as has the averaging processing time for completing investigations. The overall average processing time for each year is indicated by the blue line that is going diagonally across the page. The next slide shows the year-to-date comparison of new complaints received, the complaints that were closed, and the number of complaints open on a monthly basis. So during October, three new investigations were opened and four pending investigations were concluded. At the end of October, there were 38 pending complaints. The next slide shows the status of cases filed in previous years. So by the end of the month, that's October 31st, two complaints that were filed in 2019 remained under investigation. However, we are in the process of completing investigation of one of these complaints this week. Eight complaints remained open from 2020, and the remainder of the open complaints are from this year. The next slide gives the basis for complaints that were open at the end of October, so for all pending complaints. The pie chart on the left shows the most frequently alleged basis for discrimination. This included allegations of discrimination based on race, that was 21%, color, 18%, age, 17%, national origin, 11%, factional orientation, 7%, and gender identity, 7%. The pie chart on the right shows the basis for discrimination alleged in complaints by action. A majority of the complaints alleged non-sexual harassment, that was 71%, and assignment and hire, 11%. Of the complaints that alleged non-sexual harassment, most alleged harassment based on race, followed by retaliation. The next slide shows complaints which are open and closed in October. In October, three complaints were opened and four were closed. And this concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Morocco, do you have any comments?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you. Board Member Adams, do you have any comments?
No comments, Joyce. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Gordon, do you have any comments?
No comments, thanks.
Thank you. Board Member Spola, do you have any comments?
No comment, thanks.
Thank you. Board members, that concludes the agenda for the Administration Committee. Thank you for your participation, and you may disconnect your line.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's meeting. You may disconnect at this time and have a wonderful day.